Thanks for tuning into Upward Way Podcast. If you're looking to be spiritually blessed, moved, and inspired, there is no doubt you are in the right place. On our show, guests recount their encounter with Christ and how their lives have been transformed through the grace and love of God. And now, please welcome our host.
Hello and welcome to Upward Way. I am your host, Marlon Walters. My guest today is a Christian gospel artist, Lloyd Nix. Welcome to Upward Way.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much for inviting me on. I'm excited to talk to you today.
Yes, I'm really excited just the same. And I am really anticipating what will, you know, unfold today. I just wanted to share a bit about your journey with music, because I know you wear many hats as a Christian gospel artist, but, you know, where did things start for you as it relates to your music?
Well, honestly, I did not grow up in church, nor did I come from a really big musical family. It was just like a gift that was just given to me at a young age. I just fell in love with music. I think mostly it became like a hiding place for me. So it's like over the years, it's just always been part of who I am and how I express the deepest, most parts of who I am, how I can get. It seems like it's almost counseling to me. It's therapeutic. It's holy. It's a way that I feel like God allows me to even spread his message. And so falling in love with music growing up, didn't really have a lot of outlets of music. So school was the main way that I kind of connected with my musical gift. And I was in choir in high school, and that sparked my interest even more. I went on to study it in college, got a bachelor's degree in vocal performance classical. And then I taught music for about 3 years in high school. And then after that, I decided to travel and do it more full time. So I did some overseas work in Europe and in the UK, and got to lead worship over there, which led to me going back to school for a management degree. I had got a master's degree in management and organizational leadership. And then that's what segued to full time ministry and at a church, which freed me up to do music full time as well. And it started actually backtracking. I started recording when I was in college, recording my first album around 2010, 2011. So it's been over a 10, almost 15 year span of me doing music and recording and releasing Christian music.
That's pretty awesome. That's one word I can find. You know, as I listen, I hear this word jumping out, you know, healing and therapy. And it's not the first I've heard persons mentioning music being healing and therapy. And I think you also mentioned it was kind of like an escape for you. So could you just share a little bit more about that kind of healing, that kind of therapy, that kind of escape?
Yeah. So growing up, I experienced sexual abuse from one of my older family members, and that kind of like made me close up into a shell, and I didn't share it with my family. And then I had an abusive stepfather. My real father has been on drugs and incarcerated most of my life, and it was just all this trauma that I didn't even have the emotional or mental even awareness to even know how to express it. So I found myself finding a lot of my release in my music and singing. And it seemed like a lot of times it was easier for me to sing it or write about it rather than talk about it. And so over the years, I would write these songs as a way for me to even express or even try to comprehend the trauma that I was in. And also it was a way for even sometimes to even communicate how I was feeling. My first album was called Scars, was really the breakthrough that I needed to actually create that segue of being more transparent and understand the healing of telling my testimony. And so I remember I wrote this song called Scars on my first album. I was around 22, 21, 22. And that was the way that I was able to even open up to my mother before her passing about my experience with sexual abuse. She didn't even know, but it was a way for me to tell it in a way that was palatable, but also it was a way for me to get it off my chest and stop wearing that baggage. And it was so freeing for me to even tell that part of my story and not push it back to the, you know, push it to the back of the closet. But I found myself after releasing that, I'm like, huh, it feels really good to be kind of free and let that off of me and not hold it within myself. So I started to do it more. I started to write songs that are more transparent. And then it just completely birthed. I feel like out of that, God has birthed my purpose of why I write songs and how I write songs and the songs that I want to release. If you look at my music personally, a lot of it is really deep, thought-provoking songs like Scars that talks about struggling with sexual abuse and struggling with pornography, but finding the healing that's found in Jesus. Another song called Learning to Forgive, understanding how to forgive and noticing myself as a human and my flawed and how I'm flawed. How, because I'm flawed and I experience the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus, that's how I'm supposed to extend it to other people, and understanding that sometimes it's not people offering, you know, telling you, you know, they're sorry. Sometimes it's you receiving the forgiveness for yourself that you may never get. You're receiving an apology that you may never get. To my song, Big God, Big Love, which talks about me walking through the trauma of losing my mom to cancer on my birthday. It just seems to be this overwhelming circle of events that I experience life, and God allows me to write about my life, hopefully showing the grace of God that's on my life so someone else can see it.
Yes, it's quite a lot that you have just unpacked, and I want to get back to a bit of it, you know, and try to dissect some more. So let me get to the start of your faith journey, and then maybe from there I will dissect. I'm looking at a t-shirt you're wearing, and it says, you know, Big God, Big Love. And that is telling me that you are big on God. So where did your faith journey itself begin?
So I had an uncle that he grew up in the gang culture and drug culture, and even at one time in his life, he was even shot in his head and left for dead. They set the field on fire and left him for dead. And God delivered him from that. And he was able to live. And not only that, he received Jesus. And my uncle was an elder in the church. He was a preacher of the gospel. And he didn't really come around a lot when I was younger. But then around age 13, 14, he started to just come around. And I was happy because he had sons that were around my age, and I got to hang out with my cousins. So eventually it kind of spurred into me asking, hey, can I come with you for a weekend? Not realizing that we were going to spend all weekend at church. We would go clean the church on Saturday morning. We would go clean the church, and then he shined shoes over the weekend, local barbershop. And then on Sunday, he would be the first one there. We would open up the church, turn on the heat, and we would have Sunday school. He was a Sunday school teacher. Then we would stay for church, and then we would go to visiting churches. And so all of a sudden, I was not going to church at all. To one Sunday, one Friday, asking, can I go home with him for the weekend? Which started to years of him coming to pick me up over every weekend. I would go with my uncle. And it didn't catch on right away. I kept going to hang out with my cousins and to escape my abusive household. And I kept going to one day, it was a younger girl that had decided to dedicate her life to Jesus. And I remember we didn't have these new days. We have praise and worship and worship service where we get up and sing something. We didn't do that. And it was this little old school church that was around. We had probably like 20 people that went to the church. And mostly were kids. And we used to have testimony service instead of worship, that people would get up and tell of the goodness of God and what God was doing. It was kind of a way for us to catch up in church. And one Sunday, her mom got up and was testifying about how she's so happy about her daughter giving her life to Jesus. If I could be very transparent, that Sunday, My mind was so far away from Jesus. I used to sleep all the way through service. But there's one particular Sunday, I was going into my ninth grade year of high school, so beginning of high school years. And it was a young girl that was there that I knew from school that I was flirting with. I was back then, and I mean, I was flirting. I wasn't even paying attention. But her mom started to testify, and my attention got pulled towards that. And she was like, it's just like asking God. Her mom said, I'm so happy that my daughter is starting her faith journey. My daughter's decided to follow Jesus. It's just like asking God to fill me all over again. And I remember her saying that, and Danielle, this 13, 14-year-old girl, boldly just yelled out in church, thank you, Jesus. And it was like for the first time ever, I heard his name. Even though I had been going for years, been a part of this choir, I had never really honed in to Jesus. It seemed like in that name, I heard it for the first time. And everything that I needed and more was found in that name. And I remember that day, I started to think like, hold on, what's wrong with me? Why wouldn't I want that? And right in front of the girl that I was flirting with, I began to bawl, like completely weep and crumble. I mean, it was like one of those ugly, snotty nose cries where you can't even, like, it was under, I mean, weeping and wailing out loud in church. And my uncle's wife, she got up and she was like, hey, are you, she took me out. She's like, what's wrong with you? Are you sick? And I said, no. I said, I want to be saved. I want to give my life to Jesus. And without an altar call, the first 30 minutes of service, I walked up to the front. And I got up and I said, I want to be saved. And here I am, this 14-year-old boy. I did not know what's going to be the most pivotal moment of my life that would forever change and shape the destiny of who I was supposed to be. And I embarked on this journey with Jesus. And that was over 20 years ago. I made a choice to follow Jesus. Joke to people, I said, I didn't grow up in church, but I did grow up in church because now it's been 20 years. And most of my life, all I've known is Jesus. All I've known is the love of Jesus. And I promise you, even to this day, he's still blowing my mind. And I'm becoming to know him deeper and more intimately than I've ever known before.
Praise the name of Jesus. Well, as you said, you didn't start out with him, but you grew up in church as you rightly just said. Powerful, powerful, hearing the name of Jesus. I have to be laughing because I remember hearing a young man, he wasn't quite 14 yet, maybe he was about 11, saying he wanted to be baptized, and someone was mocking him, saying, man, you're wasting your life. You are just 11, you know. You haven't lived any life yet. You're about to throw away your life. But little would he have known that, you know, accepting Jesus, that's actually the start of someone's life. So, you know, how has that journey been? Have you ever experienced any kind of doubts? You know, was there any kind of pushback maybe from peers at school, persons within your community? You know, what was, let's say, those early years walking with Jesus like for you?
Yeah, it was a lot of pressure from peers. I mean, I'm going to high school and it's like I had a rocky start because it's like as soon as I said that, it was like the evil one, the devil was in my ear like, why would you do that? You're about to start high school. You can sing. You're about to start over. You could probably be a part of a cool crowd. I was playing football for the first year of high school. And so I just kept coming. I kept showing up to one day. I just was completely sold out and I did not care. I did not care what my peers said. I didn't care. I was so bold, like even like I was like probably super zealous and probably completely judgmental at the beginning. God was really shaping, forming this relationship that I wanted to tell everybody about it. And even though in the beginning, in my ignorance, a lot of it was overzealous. I think God honored it because he saw the heart of it. And over years, he changed my heart and he began to teach me what it means to really love Jesus and express the love of Jesus to a watching world. And so, yeah, it was hard. I was different. I was the Christian boy at school that carried his Bible to school, that didn't curse, that didn't go to parties, that wasn't having sex, that wasn't doing all these things that my peers was doing. And I was living totally opposite to the culture that I was in. And even I went home, I was the only Christian in my household. I had a stepfather that would curse my God out and say, you know, he would say all these things. Oh, you Jesus worship. He would call me Fat Jesus. That was like my name. And he would mock my God. He would bang on my door, say anything that he could to me. But I stayed focused because I had found a love that was so deep that I could not shake, that I could not deny, that I had an encounter with something that was so real, it was more real than what I could even feel in this natural world, that I could not shake the experience that I experienced with Jesus. Like, I cannot deny. And then I went on to college and I never turned my back on Jesus. And here I am after experiencing who Jesus is. Seems like everything that could go wrong went wrong in my life. And I graduate from college. I still stay with Jesus. And on my 26th birthday, my mom dies on my birthday to cancer. She had never really been sick in my whole life. And a year before that, I found out she has cancer. I thought it was going to be just, oh, she's going to do treatment. They're going to take it out. And a year later, my mom takes her last breath on my birthday. And I'm left with pieces of life that has been tattered with abuse and loss and grief, and everything that could go wrong seemed to be my life. But I could not deny the grace and the glory that I saw so clear. It was like God took me through darkness so that joy could be so real to me, that I could see light so real. And I tell people, I was thinking the other day, I was about to make a post, but I didn't. I was like, I didn't realize how much I needed to lose my mom and to experience grief for me to know, really, really to know what joy was. To really know that the word of God became real to me because of trials and tribulation. Not out of the good that I've been through in my life. I learned the goodness of God from out of all of the burden and all of the trials and tribulations and the darkness and grief was really how I really saw and learned how good what God was. And here I am, 8 years after my mom was passing, I can say, oh, God, that's what you were trying to see me to see. You were trying to let me see that in my weakness, your strength is made perfect. You were trying to let me see that if I suffer with you, I can reign with you. You were trying to let me see that even in the darkest hours, your light illuminates it all. And I'm able to see that joy is not found in my circumstance, but joy overshadows any circumstance, good or bad.
Wow. I know it's a few years, but still want to convey my condolences to you on, you know, losing someone who would have been so dear to you. There are two things I really want to ask or want you to comment on. In some circles, it's unfashionable for someone who's young, you know, as a teenager to accept Christ. You know, you should wait until you're almost dying, you know. So why is it so important for a young person to accept Christ in his or her life? I wanted to start with that one.
Well, honestly, it's the best thing that you could ever do in your life. And the relevancy of Jesus outlasts any momentary fad. The world will pass away. What's in will pass away. The latest designs will pass away. The popular person, the celebrity will pass away. But at the end of the day, when all is said and done, Jesus remains the same. Why would I place my hope on sinking sand when I can place my hope on a solid foundation? We have this American saying, you know, have you ever heard the saying that they say, these people are peopling. Like, it means like people are going to be people. Like, when people are people, they are peopling. Life brings regret. It brings sorrow. And I think that people miss out on the fact is that we have a Savior that chose to leave his throne in glory to experience life in its fullness with us, so he can understand our suffering. He can understand our sorrow. He can understand our grief. He can understand our temptations. And he chose to live it out so that we can know that, yes, we're going to experience all this life, but the joy that's going to be set before you is greater than what you're going to experience this life. Why wouldn't you, as a young person, want to have this realization? And why wouldn't you, as a young person, want to walk with someone throughout your life that understands life deeper and more intimately than you will ever know? Why would you want to experience an entire life walking in darkness and not walking with the one that's a light unto my feet, that illuminates your path, that goes before you? Why wouldn't you want the one that said goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life? That means that you don't want the goodness and mercy to follow you all the days of your life. You want to go through life on your own strength when you don't even know what's coming up in front of you. I would not encourage anyone to play Russian roulette with their souls, because you don't know the day or the hour that you're going to be called away from this place. And accepting Jesus Christ, the day you say yes to Jesus, is the day you say yes to eternity. So it's not just you waiting to the end. It's you understanding that the day you say yes to Jesus is the day you said yes to eternity. And heaven becomes your home. Really, you can start that is the best.
Yeah, lots of gems there. The earlier you can say yes to Jesus is the earlier you are saying yes to eternity. I want to learn a bit more, you know, how have you been able to overcome so many of these, you know, hardships you have faced? I know you mentioned your music and your faith, you know, Jesus being in the center, but has there been other elements, maybe individuals, friends, you know, how have you been able to really overcome and remain so fully anchored?
So after God and after my faith in Jesus, it's my wife. I have a beautiful wife. Her name is Ashley. When someone loves you that deeply and you don't have to hide your true self from, it automatically makes you more confident. It automatically makes you more secure in who you are. And my wife loves me so deeply, and she's such a safe place for me that I'm able to heal with her. I'm able to process with her, because she pushes me to live. Because sometimes grief still comes, and I will smell a perfume that smells like my mom, or I will see a commercial or someone that looks like her, that reminds, or anything that reminds me of her. And I will be overcome with grief. And my wife will say, no, baby. I'm going to sit down here with you. I'll let you cry and I'll let you have this moment. But I'm going to pick you back up and walk with you. And if you can't walk, I'm going to shoulder you. I'm going to shoulder along with you and I'll walk with you. And then God has placed really holy relationships and friends in my life, of people that help me live and speak life into me. And then I'm a friend of the local church. Find you a local church, a community of believers that you can live life with, that can encourage you, that you can live life with, that you can be family with, that has, all those elements have helped me live and propel me further in life.
As the good old saying goes, no man is an island, no man stands alone. I'm going to get back to your music ministry. I did promise the listening audience recently that, you know, you'd have been on the show. I didn't remember to say it previously, But I want to jump to a recent collaboration that you did with some artist over there in North America, one K Anthony and also Alicia Hike. Walk me through your own contribution to this project. I understand it had been more than a year in the making, and of course, you didn't do all of the singing, etc., in one location. You had to do it, let us say, remotely. So, how did things fall in place? Let me put it that way.
So me and K Anthony have been friends for years. He's actually one of my closest friends. I talk to him probably every day, and we actually became close friends before even meeting each other, like face to face. We met each other on Instagram about 3 or 4 years ago. It was like he was my big brother, I'm the little brother. He would call me, I would call him. We would sit on the phone with our families, even on WhatsApp or FaceTime, or we would call each other on video call. We would just sit and talk for hours. And about a year of doing that, he finally was able to come to one of my writing camps that I had here in St. Louis. And it just solidified our bond and our relationship as brothers. K. Anthony is the epitome of collaboration and connecting people. He was just writing with her, and I was actually winding down. I'm in bed just on my phone, and I get a WhatsApp call from him. I pick it up. It's him and Alicia, and they're writing this beautiful song called Back to Jesus. And I instantly started like hearing melodies and singing words. And he was like, "Oh, you want to join us on this song?" And so, yes. I was like, "Yeah, sure." A couple of months went by. We weren't able to get back on. And we finally was able to get back on to a call. We finished the song. Then another 5 or 6 months, almost a year went by before we could start recording. She started producing it there, and her brother started to produce the music, and she recorded her vocals, and then eventually she sent it to us. Months went by. K. Anthony was finally able to get here to St. Louis where we recorded. The local vocal producer, her name is Angie G, and he did his leads, and I did all these crazy BGVs and my leads. And we sent it back to Alicia's brother, which it went through, oh my Lord, so many mixes and revisions. It was like months of back and forth. No, that's not right. No, can we change this? Can we do this? Blah, blah. We sent it back, mixing and making sure we finally landed on something that we liked. And we went to mastering. So it's like this back and forth. It was like a dance that we had to do to even, it was a sacrifice. This collaboration, this song is dripping with sacrifice. And so we finally got it done, and it became this beautiful symphonic testament of how no matter what you're going through life, no matter what seasons you're in, no matter what you're experiencing, it all comes back to Jesus.
I read the, let's say, the backstory, and the backstory is telling me, it's an anthem. But, I've been trying to figure out how is this an anthem? And I'm being honest here because I look at the lyrics and it's powerful, and I listen to the melody. But the way you just express it, it all comes back to Jesus, and that is where the anthem really is. Everything comes back to Jesus.
It's defiantly saying, if I don't even feel it, I'm never going to stop praising your name. I'm never going to stop. I don't care if all hell is loose in my life, that turmoil, the rains are blowing, the winds are blowing. I'm going to defiantly look it in the face and say, I won't stop praising Jesus. It all comes back to Jesus. That weeping may endure for a night, but I know the joy that's set before me, and it's found in Jesus.
So should we go out and order or a copy of the song?
You should go get it. You should put it a part of your playlist. You need to play it in your prayer closet. I was just telling people today, because I just got really good news about another song that I wrote. Have you heard the song That's My King by CeCe Winans? So I heard that it just her album just went number one. And someone said, yes, this is the start of many. And I had to tell them, I said, I don't think you understand. I don't even think these songs are my songs. I really believe that every song that we write that's lifting up the name of Jesus are borrowed melodies from heaven that God allowed us to hear these songs that they've been singing for eons around the throne, and he's released them through his people on earth. But they're borrowed melodies from heaven. These are already songs that the angels are singing around his throne, that the people that have gone on to be with Jesus are already singing and worshiping him and offering as adoration to our King, that he allows us to hear and allows us to write so the world could hear. These are songs that God has given and that God has birthed. And we're just the vessel. We're just being used by him to spread the gospel, to spread the truth of who he is.
Borrowed melodies from heaven. What jumps out at me as I listened also, you know, to you unpacking the experience with this collaboration is patience and perseverance. We're living in a 21st century world where patience and perseverance are not, you know, something that is maybe endorsed too much because, you know, it should be quick. So what is your response to, you know, someone who is struggling with patience and also perseverance, you know, seeing you have been through so much, even with this latest project, you know, for it to come together, what is your message to someone who is struggling with patience?
My number one thing that I would tell them is to learn how to be intentional about now and stop being so future focused. And I know as an artist, I am guilty of this. I think a lot of times people are so future focused that they don't really honor the season that they're in now. They're so future focused that they can miss out on the lesson that God is trying to teach them. And so I just put up the scripture. I was looking down because this scripture, I think, is perfect. Matthew 6 and 34 says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Life is life and now. So surely I can worry about tomorrow tomorrow. But if I'm present now and I keep Jesus at the center of my now, I know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. So if I put him first, if I seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, all these things shall be added unto me. The scripture always, I think scripture overwhelmingly reminds us that if we focus on Jesus, if we focus on God, if we keep him first, if we focus on the things of heaven, if we focus on him, he's already working it out for your good. And your good working out is not depending on how the situation looks and plays out. Your good working out is him.
I'll toss a question, which, as you quote so many scripture passages and your words are so empowering, I'll toss a question which I already know the answer to. So are you a minister? You know, are you a preacher? Because I know by default as a musician, gospel, you know, singer, songwriter, you're a minister. But are you also a minister in the sense of being a pastor?
I currently am a worship arts pastor of a church. So I oversee the worship and production of a church that has three locations in the St. Louis area. And what's so cool about this church is that we don't strive to have these really huge buildings. We want really small community churches in all of the communities around our city so people can actually live life with and cater to the demographic that are within those communities. And honestly, I don't do a lot of preaching, but I do a lot of preaching. It may not be physically in a pulpit in front of the congregation, but you don't know how much word is, like, honestly, I think the way God uses me to express my sermons per se is through my music and the songs that I write. But also more practically, I may not be preaching to a large congregation, but God allows me to have really holy moments with individuals, especially those that are on my team, living life with them, taking them out for coffee, encouraging them, making sure that I am ushering in a community of like-minded worshipers inside our church that understand the importance and the mandate that worship holds, that we're not the popular people. We're not elevating ourselves, but we boldly lead, and then we get out the way for people to experience Jesus.
Amen. I love the way you respond. And my question was deliberate, because the very thoughts you echo is something maybe an hour or two before this interview that came up in a discussion I had with my wife, where we were talking about, are you presenting yourself for people to follow, or are you presenting Jesus for people to follow? You have just outlined that it's not about Lloyd be seen. You know, Lloyd is removing himself so that people can actually see Jesus. But at the same time, you're fulfilling your role in leading them to Jesus. Powerful.
Yes.
No better sermon. I think I'll toss two more questions on you. The first has to do with advice you'd give to, you know, anyone who'd want to utilize their gifts and talents in serving God full time. So I'm not limiting it just to music. Of course, preferably music, but, you know, someone who's saying, God has laid a gift on me, on my life, a talent on my life, and I would want to dedicate my life to just ministering to him full time. What would be your advice to this individual?
When you were talking, all I could think about is that as followers of Jesus, we have the same calling. Our calling is to share the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's like paraphrasing the Great Commission. My goal is that if you are a follower of Jesus, my goal is for you to hear this. No matter if it's vocational ministry within a church, working in the bank, the corporate America, politics, music, as a Christian, you have a responsibility to be exactly who you are to a watching world. That means that you are in full-time ministry, no matter what industry you're in, the way you interact with people, the way you talk, the way that you react, should all be wrapped up in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So no matter if you're doing full-time ministry and God is calling you to that, that's the same way that God is calling you to be influential in whatever industry you're called to work within and he's gifted you in. How would it look if we had influencers in banking, in movies, in music, that are executives and companies all the way down to the worship leader or the pastor or the youth leader in church that are choosing to do this full time, that you dedicate, no matter what vocation you choose, as being a minister of the gospel? I think that's the bigger picture. We've isolated being full-time ministry in the church to full-time ministry, but you can be full-time ministry as an executive of a company, as an executive of a movie, of the music industry, as an actor, as an influencer that's just making videos on TikTok or Instagram, that's making videos about cooking, but people can undeniably say that you're one of his.
Wow. Something else, you know, it's something I often said, you know, about being an influencer, because, you know, it's a word that is trending and many times we don't realize how powerful our influences are. And yes, we don't have to wait until we are called to gospel ministry in that sense.
While you're saying it, like, Jesus was the greatest influencer. They had only the spoken word and people passing on information through the word of mouth. And he would go in towns. Like, even when you think about the story of when he came into town on, we call it Palm Sunday, when he came into town and he was on his donkey, how with so many people calling out Hosanna, you can't tell me that he wasn't influential. A carpenter's son from the town of Nazareth that wasn't anything to really look at and behold would turn the world around in just 3 years before we even had cell phones and social media. His name is still undeniably noticeable in all the world. That's influence.
Yes, and as you said, just 3.5 years, and his impact has been magnificent. Final question, in keeping with my promise, you know, what is coming up on the horizon? You know, do you have upcoming shows? You know, where are you headed next in your ministry?
I just released a song that's going on the radio called Common Ground. If you can look it up, it's Common Ground by Lloyd Nix. It is a song that celebrates the diversity that we find in church. Even the first line says, might sing with a little more soul than you're used to. Might come from a different background, different town, different sound, but we still got the same truth. You and I came from the same blood. Some of us are going through the same stuff, but we still have this one thing in common. If you got Jesus living on the inside, and if your heart is beating with a new life, if you got love and you're not ashamed to sing about, if you got a firm foundation under your feet, then we got common ground. Jesus. So this song, Common Ground, is one of my biggest releases I've ever released. And I'm excited to see what God does with the song. And then later on this summer, I am releasing my biggest release. It's an EP called Common Ground. So I'm excited about that.
Common Ground, you're asked to go check it out. And you don't even have to go further than YouTube. You'll search it up, and at the bottom, you'll see the lyrics. Let me say thanks, Lloyd, for taking the time out of what I know is a very busy schedule. You missed, you know, that club interview, but still we are happy to have you here today. And I can only say all the best to you as you minister. Just want to jump on maybe one or two quick points from what you shared, you know, as kind of a summary before we close off. Music being your therapy, providing healing, and you have also shared about some of the personal trauma you experienced growing up, and the music was your outlet in speaking about all of this. And you know, we give God thanks for your uncle, who, though he had his experience of gangs, you know, was shot, he recovered, and he dedicated his life to serving. And because of his influence, you were able to attend church with him, hearing that flirt of yours, shouting out, thank you, Jesus. The name of Jesus was what made the difference in your life. And you opened your heart to receive him. Yes, we know as a person of faith, there were rocky moments as the devil tried to whisper doubts in your ears, but you held firmly to God. And today, despite everything, you are still holding firmly to him. And I think maybe the two last points that I want to share that you've covered is that, you know, your wife Ashley has been that source of strength and support. The love she has is what is helping you to continue to heal today. And you shared your advice to other believers or individuals in general. Find a community of believers so that, you know, you can find support as you navigate life's crooked path. Now, as is customary on this show, you know, do you have any parting words to share with the listeners?
My parting word is, if you're a believer and you follow Jesus, keep going. Be encouraged. Know that God is for you. He is with you. He loves you. And I pray that no matter what season you're in, you will see his faithfulness. You will see his goodness. And you will understand that life may get hard, life may get tough, but the fact is, our Savior doesn't shy away from the toughness. He goes through it with us. If you don't know who Jesus is, I am bold enough to say, try him. And you will find him to be a healer, a comforter, a lover. You will find him to be patient. You will find him to be kind. But you will also find the one that, when all else fades away, he will remain the same. And he can be a constant in your life. Try Jesus.
It's all about trying Jesus. He will be a constant in your life. You've been in tune to Upward Way. Do join us again next week when we'll have another interesting guest sharing his or her story of faith. Subscribe to weekly episodes on the Apple, AWR, Loud Voice, Spotify, Stitcher, or Podcast Guru apps. You're also welcome to visit Upward Way Facebook page. Click like and leave a comment. Until then, I'm Marlon Walters saying goodbye. May God
You've been
bless
listening
you.
To the Upward Way podcast, the number one audio production show for people who want encouragement and reassurance in a muddled world.